lock eyes with me to celebrate how deeply I love you.
Jesus.
I'm sitting at the head of the table. I love to see you calm.
You to take the bread this morning. It represents his body that was given for you. He did it to show you how much he loved you, how much he cared for you. He came to show you the price you were worth. So this morning we take the bread and we connect with him as one in his name. Take the bread this morning. Sent the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about him as new wine. He established a covenant that was born by his blood in the wine. Always to remind you of your connection with him, of your oneness with him. The covenant he made with you of no separation. The covenant he made with you, he says, always remember who you are in me.
Right.
The enemy comes and he lies. He pokes at you. He torments you. He depresses you. Causes you to think other things. This morning, Holy Spirit reminds me, you, that you're his. You're his son.
Right.
You're his daughter.
Right.
You're one in him. So we take the communion cup this morning. We drink it and we say we're one with him, united in him. Take the cup. One in him. Communion. It means with oneness. With oneness. It's the prayer that Jesus prayed before he went to the cross in John 17. He's praying. He said, God, that they would know this one great truth. You're one in me. I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me. You're in the Father, and the Father is in you.
And so, right? So, Danny, with that, since we're one with him, so Jesus is, there's no sickness in him, disease,
right.
Nothing. So with that, Donna, you're healed.
In Jesus' name.
He said it's finished, and it's finished, right? If you feel the symptom, it's a lie. It is finished. If you feel a symptom, it's a lie. You tell the lie to go away. And Rita, check your hip. I think it's healed already completely. So if there's any, because of his presence right now, when we carry his presence, anything that's going on in your life right now where you need his assistance, now's the time to just ask him for it.
Wow.
Amen.
That was the one of the sweetest mornings. So you just, don't clap, but would you smile at her? Just say thanks, Lisi. And then she's going to lead communion from here on out. That was it's like, oh my gosh, Angie, you're like pulled. It's like Jesus in the room just like pulled hearts in this morning, wasn't it? Like that. It's like, wow. Oh, hi, Linda. And Katie. We bless our, let's see, Virginia, somewhere in Virginia, and then Taft. We bless you ladies this morning. We just say, Holy Spirit, come to where you're at. It's so wonderful that as we experience presence here, here's what we know. He's there. It's like this web just kind of goes out and grabs you, you ladies, this morning. Wow. We bless you this morning. Wow, where do you go? It's like, Holy Spirit's a perfect guide. And if you ever wonder, what do I do next? You just ask Holy Spirit. You know, it's like, what do you want to do? I want to build on where we were. If you remember, we were looking at Jehoshaphat and in 2 Chronicles. And we were talking about what do you do when you're overwhelmed, Rita? What do you do when there's so much coming at you? And sometimes it's terrifying. Sometimes the onslaught of what is in front of you is so big. God, sometimes it's like, what do you do with the scare of a medical report? What do you do? What do you do when there's a big report in front of you that it's like, this is so huge. It's like, it's easily distracts you. It easily takes your eyes away. It's like, they're mountains. And what do you do when the courts are not in your favor? What do you do when the money doesn't add up and you've got big bills and you don't have an answer? What do you do? And that's where Jehoshaphat found himself. What do you do? And the Bible says he was terrified. He was afraid. And our lesson that we looked at, what he shows us as we see this journey of processing mountains, processing big obstacles, he was showing, we learned it's like this, it's like, I don't know what to do, but I know to like hook my cart to you. I know to like look to you for an answer. I know to like, God, what are you going to do to get me out of this? That's what Jehoshaphat was showing us. It's like, What's my response to fear, Jehoshaphat? It's like, I'm going to seek the Lord. And, it's like as he's getting, he comes to this recognition, I have no power here.
I can't control all these things that are out there. All I know is I can control how I respond to it here, right? I know God, you're big enough to deal with all of that. So I'm gonna partner with you. And so it's like this process of, you know, we looked, and I'll just kind of quickly recap when we're back in that. What did Jehoshaphat do? He said, look, he quieted everybody and said, let's just see what God wants to do, right? The next thing we know, he says, well, let's just praise him, because here's what he's done before. So they spend time just praising God, just reminding themselves, here's who he is, here's what he's done, and he'll do it again.
Right.
And from that place, they go, okay, I'm going to trust in whatever you say next. So they put their trust in him, right? It's like, so when you say go right, I'll go right. It doesn't have to make sense to me, but I'm going to go right. If he says barrel ahead, we're going to barrel ahead. If he says rest, we're going to rest.
Right.
And then, by the way, remember that's what they did? He said, you're not going to have to fight this one. They ended up like eating each other alive. They ended up fighting each other.
The bad guys.
They didn't have to exert any strength other than just enjoy God. And then it says they just gave thanks. It says they stood still and watched the salvation of God. And so I wanted to like link that with you this morning, because I wanted to look in Hebrews chapter. Look, can I have my mirror Bible done? Hebrews chapter. So we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 12. But I want to hook it into Hebrews chapter 11. Do you remember when we studied that just a few weeks ago? We looked at this. It's Hebrews 11 is that faith chapter. Mm-hmm. And we see the testimony of the saints. We see the faith, and it's like all these Old Testament heroes about how they demonstrated their confidence in him. They demonstrated their trust in him. They demonstrated their faith in him. What are they doing? They're saying, this is who you are above all things. And so we saw this pattern after pattern after pattern as Hebrews 11 shows us these champions of faith, right? But there's this, before I get to Hebrews 12, I want to read this verse that closes Hebrews 11, right? That's a nice transition to Hebrews 12, isn't it? Because there's this, at the last two verses of Hebrews chapter 11, right? All those heroes, all those faith champions, they know who their God is, right? So we're in the Old Testament. They know who he is. This is how they're choosing to lead. He says, and all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, this is 11, verse 39, did not receive the promise. Here's a question to you. Just ponder it. What was the promise? What didn't those Old Testament champions that we just enjoyed, what promise didn't they receive?
Salvation.
So let me define that, what he just said there, because that's the right answer, right? Do you know, so in the Old Testament, so they knew the journey that we see in the Old Testament is he's God.
Right.
That's God.
Right.
Creator of all things, right? The one who has power over all things, dominion over all things. You know what they didn't see him as? Didn't know him as?
Father.
Father, Papa. There was Jesus came that we just had communion for. Jesus came to introduce you to God as Father.
Right.
More importantly, in you as his son and daughter. There's a relationship that Jesus says, oh, his prayer before he went to the cross, when he had communion with his disciples, was that they would see you as Father, and I'll translate, and know themselves as his sons and daughters.
That's good, yeah.
Because there's an inheritance, there's an authority, there's a strength that comes in walking as his kids. Your dad's the king.
Right.
The father of heaven. King of heaven, all the resources of heaven, he's released as an inheritance to his kids. That's why you have this powerful assignment to change the earth, right? So when he says, right, all these, having obtained a good testimony of faith, did not receive that promise. They didn't know that.
Right.
Right? Verse 40, God has provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. He just said this. Mm-hmm. He says, the better thing for you is this, what salvation does. Salvation is this enjoyment of living as one in him. Salvation is the connection with him. Salvation says there is no separation between Father and Son. There is no separation between you and him. You're connected to him, right? So that's the end of chapter 11. Right? He says, all these saint ones that we've enjoyed talking about, their faith and their strength and their confidence, mm-hmm. right? The journey they had, he says, they didn't have that promise, mm-hmm. right? That promise you have, right? Jesus came to show you that promise. So chapter 12, therefore we also, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. What is that sin? That sin is the creeping in of the lie that says you're not his.
Right.
Sin is the lie that says you're not connected to him. Sin is the lie, it's fear, that says you don't belong with him. Sin is the lie that says you're not good enough. Sin is the lie that says, who do you think you are? Sin is a lie that says you need to perform and read your Bible more and do all these other things to earn a connection to him, right? That's the sin, that's what ensnares us. It gets you to go, oh, maybe I don't belong in him, right? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus. Say that. Looking unto Jesus.
Looking unto Jesus.
Come on. Look. What did Jehoshaphat do? It says, I sought him.
Right.
There's a lot of words in the New Testament that are translated seeing him, seeking him, finding him. A lot of words that have to do with seeing. There's one word, and it's never used anywhere else in the text. Only used one time. It's this word right here, looking. It's a Greek word, aphareo. Okay, aphareo.
You're gonna say homie.
Homie. Yeah. Only used right here. There's lots of words that have to do with looking, beholding, or seeing, right? One has to do with maybe how we see with our eyes. Oh, the flowers. Look at I love the blue of the flowers. Right. Another one might have to do with, just gazing. Oh, wow. Look at that sunset. And you're just like, you're fixed on it. You're like, wow. Another one might have to do with, like a blind man, his eyes opening. Right? We talked about this week. I once was blind. Whoa! But now I see. There's this. Like the reality of seeing, physically seeing, right? But in this one, this word here for looking, again, it's never used anywhere else. It actually has two kind of parts to it. One, it says, I'm gonna look away from this thing.
Right, right. Mm.
And I'm going to only consider this thing. I'm going to look away from something And I'm only gonna consider this thing, right? So you could kind of look at it as, right? So let's just look at those two parts there for a second. Look away from something and focusing on something. Like when I say look, focus on it, it's like attend to this thing. Just, I'm only gonna consider this thing, okay? So you could say it's like, what do we've used this word changing the atmosphere. Before. In fact, you know what you did this morning as we worshiped? You changed the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Right? You literally changed the atmosphere. You co-labored with his presence. And what in that co-laboring, you invited him in to do a work on your heart. He came in and did a work on your mind, on how you were thinking this morning. He may have come in and you may have felt something, like it may have been a lightness or a touch or a sensation in the room, right? By co-laboring with him, right? So we co-labored. He came and he changed the atmosphere. So I would say this first part of when he says look unto him, look, it's like, hey, we need to move away. We need to shift atmospheres. I'll say it that way. The first assignment we have that the writer of Hebrews is introducing to us is change the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Change the atmosphere. How do you do that? One way we do it. We look, and the writer is telling us, look away from sin. Look, if sin is that lying spirit, sin is that activity. It's from the enemy. Its only intent is to separate you from God.
Right.
That's what sin is. Its only intent is disconnection. Right? And its only spirit is fear. Right? So what atmosphere are we separating from? Fear. Yeah. What atmosphere are we separating from? That activity of disconnection.
Right.
We're actually telling ourselves, look, I need to literally step away from even considering I'm not worth it. Even considering I'm not close enough to him. Even considering I'm disconnected.
Right.
Right? So when I say look away from sin, we're stepping away. Let's just call it two atmospheres, okay? There's the atmosphere of fear, and there's the atmosphere of heaven. So I'm looking away from this other wrong, sin-filled atmosphere. Here's another one. Where the enemy is going to say, yes, you're disconnected, and now guess what? You're all alone.
Right.
Now you have to do things on your own. Mm-hmm. Self, now it's all about you. I have to take. So this looking away, nothing, we need to look away from that self. Mm. I can do it all myself. We need to look away from it's just me. We need to look away from anything that would suggest even remotely that you don't have him inside of you.
Right?
That self-life. The New Testament writers, the early church, they go after this in almost all of their letters. Mm-hmm. This activity of somehow believing and picking up this old man, mm-hmm. right? This language or activity that you act like, I have to manage this. I have to control this.
Right.
It leads us to manipulation. It leads us mm-hmm. to controlling and rejecting people. Right? So we need to look away from this self-life and really step away from anything that makes us think about shortcomings in our living and our attention to the Lord. Stop it. Right? And the other thing was, I would say, look away from your situation. You know what? When you're in front of a mountain, a big trial, you know what you're inclined to do? So what are you inclined to focus on? The trial. You're inclined to focus on the problem, the cancer. You're inclined to focus on the debt. You're inclined to, right? You get it? You're inclined to focus on that family problem, that family relational crisis, right? And what happens when we sit there?
Yep.
Right? We're beholding the problem.
Right.
Right? We're simply, and we'll have to teach it at a time, we're literally empowering the problem. We're actually giving weight to the problem. Right? We need to look away from, it's like when he says forget this atmosphere, we literally forget the problem. Mm-hmm. We need to, and we'll teach it again, we'll teach it sometime coming up about Simon Peter called out on the water.
Right.
How did, right? What did, why did he sink? Mm-hmm. Put his eyes on the problem, right? That's why he sunk, right? So part one of this great word, looking, Hebrews 12:2, looking unto him. Like, forget this atmosphere, right? But the second part of that word, it's like two pieces to it. It has to do with like our focus, right? So the first word part is like, we're shifting, we're changing the atmosphere. So I'm gonna get away from these things. Get away from that sin thought, the selfish thought, and get away from that situation thought, right? In my but the other part is a focus thought, right? Focusing our attention, right? So it's a fun word if you go study it. It actually, that focus part of the word, because the word's actually made up of two pieces, two different words, like root words. This other one, it's a word that sort of denies, like it has motion to it. So think of it this way. You're driving up 395, and the sign says Ridgecrest, right? The sign says Ridgecrest. So here's what I know. If I head that way, right, I'm gonna get to Ridgecrest, right? So focus, this focus thought is like, okay, I'm gonna present things in front of you, and this focus is gonna take you there. Right? There's a goal, there's a place you're going to end up, right? And so there's a lot of this language of this word in Paul's letters, because he's basically telling you, he tells you about consider these things, focus on these things, mm-hmm. right? There's a lot of his letters that talked about, hey, you don't tolerate other words in your head, only consider joy, love, peace, right? Things like that. These are focus thoughts. It says, hey, if we focus on joy, it's going to take me to joy. If I focus on, like, hate, guess where it's going to take me? It's me, right? So I would just leave you with this thought here. We become what we behold, okay? We become what we behold, right? So there's actually, in fact, the part two of that word, the unto, looking unto, that second part of focus and the unto are the things that come together and give us that momentum, that focus to it with a direction, focus with a purpose, okay? So I would just like to say this morning, and I'll do this just a way of sort of closing. Holy Spirit is here this morning with the absolute intention of helping us with a focus. Okay. Mm-hmm. We invite His presence in the room to shift atmospheres.
Right.
Right. To step away from this other kingdom pulling on us. We're heading to His kingdom, which is dominated and led by love. The Holy Spirit's job is to guide us on that path,
right,
to mentor you in your understanding on that journey, to rewire your thinking, to align with heaven thinking, right? So we're stepping away from here, and we're aligning our hearts, our minds, our bodies with this new, with heaven's atmosphere, okay? So if Holy Spirit's my guide, the enemy's gonna do is try to get you to break focus, right? To cause you to head back, right? So I would say this, Holy Spirit wants to lead this morning. I'll call it an unblurred focus, right? In other words, his goal is to leave you without doubt. His goal this morning is to give you assurance of who he is and who you are. Kingdom assurance, right? So unblurred focus. Do you see it? Unblurred. Unblurred. Clarity. Resolution. This is what kingdom says. Two, Holy Spirit wants to lead you with I'll call it unbroken focus, right? Without wavering. In other words, sometimes we go down this path and then we head back. And we go down this path and then we head back. We're a little bipolar with God. We're a little with Holy Spirit, and we're constantly picking up old conditions, old habits, old traits. Right? That's not the journey God has for you. Right? So Holy Spirit is committed to you living unwavering, unbroken, with one path, one journey, and that's into kingdom, right? Without any need to sit here and flip-flop between and find yourself in this wrestling match. I keep finding myself doing the stupid thing again. I keep finding myself thinking about bad, that stupid stuff again. I keep finding myself, right? Mm-hmm. So he's committed this morning for unbroken focus. Mm. And thirdly, I would say he's committed this morning to lead us into unblocked focus. In other words, there are no roadblocks between you and kingdom. There's no gateways between you and kingdom living. Mm. There's no mountains between you and a kingdom life, right? The lie is that we have to I've got to get to this level, let's say, and perform here, and then I'll get to this level. And if I go to church, then this can happen. If I go, we welcome back in this religious mentality that says we have to perform to be his son, right? When you were born, you became a son or a daughter. Mm-hmm. There was nothing you had to do to earn that assignment.
Right, right.
There was no performing. It was being, right? Heaven is no different. There is no rule set that says, when you do these things, I'll consider you a son. Hmm. He calls you sons and daughters. Mm-hmm. He calls you his kids, right? And when he perfects, he perfects. Mm. When he calls righteous, you're righteous, right? You have been sanctified, right? Righteousness isn't a process. It's
a gift. So every time we turn, the kingdom of God Jesus said, is at hand, or the kingdom of God is as close to you as the air that you breathe. Yeah. So as soon as you just turn into him,
right,
you're there.
Right.
And it also says that he's given us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. We already have it.
Right.
We already have it all. It's a matter of just turning into it,
mm-hmm,
stewarding his presence. Like this morning, we entered into that place of presence.
Yeah.
That doesn't have to go away.
Right.
It doesn't have to go. We can turn into it at any moment.
Mm-hmm.
So if we practice that on a daily basis, then it becomes a habit.
Hebrews 12:2, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Look unto him. Right? It's not about sheer determination. This isn't a willpower, right? It's like a, wow, how do I say it? It's like a transfer of love.
It's simple.
Right? Like that. And so it's like heaven, like sweeps you in to his, to love, right? It's like this waking understanding of I'm in him. I'm in his love. There's nothing there is absolutely no, you can't see light between me and him. There's
right.
no break.
Right.
I'm literally, my spirit is fully involved and wrapped and consumed by his spirit.
That's good.
I'm connected to him. There's no, and my interest is his interest. Mm-hmm. My love is his love. My desire is his desire, right? It's when our focus gets shifted that, right? And that's, and it's, we get steered away from that. And so this morning, just as a way of just inviting Holy Spirit to say, we choose, we're saying yes to just staying in this place without hesitation, without pause, right? Without demanding the logicals and the arguments. We just say, Holy Spirit,
yeah.
Come, rewire body, mind, soul this morning. That there's a synchronization with heaven. There's a love synchronization with Father this morning. And we prophesy over our lives this morning. We have an unblurred focus. We have no doubt in us. We have assurance of who we are, and we know what's true. Holy Spirit, we prophesy and declare we have an unbroken focus. We're not looking to the right or to the left. We're not turning. We're not shifting. God, we're stable in you. We're strong in you. We have confidence in you. We're one in you. God, there is no separation between us. And Holy Spirit, we declare and prophesy over us this morning. We have an unblocked focus. Our lane is clear. There are no rocks in our journey. There's no mountains between us and you. There's no gates or walls. There's no things to earn or gain. God, it's just we're with you. So without hesitation, we run. With great confidence, we move in our assignment, our kingdom assignment, God, of bringing heaven to earth. And we say yes to you, God. And we say, we just close with, God, we see ourselves raised with Christ. So we seek those things which are above, where you are. We see us sitting at the right hand of God with you, Jesus. And so we set our mind on those things, not on the things down here. God, that's where we live. That's where we dwell. That's where our yes and our amen is. In Jesus' name, amen.